Hello and welcome to Tightrope. It's now episode 7, March 8th, 2017 of my motorcycle tour, and here I am in Portugal, having had a day off to travel, arriving late at night into this beautiful city. I spent the next day hanging out with Boris and Joao of the organization ATR, who helped me out with not only this gig, but with several gigs around Portugal and Spain. I spent the day hanging out with friends at Puten Club, and they figured out how to do it cheaply by traveling with LPG, liquid propane gas, which is common at fuel stations in Europe. One of the most beautiful cities I've ever seen, and people are all very kind and very attractive. I was kind of nervous because I hadn't slept much the night before, and I was starting to feel sleepy. Besides, walking around, it was a little bit of a misty day, and the sidewalks are all paved with this beautiful stone that unfortunately gets really slippery. I took a streetcar with the promoter to get to the spot. The restaurant is called Dimash, with a back room in the, for music. I enjoyed not one, but two meals. First, I complained that I was very hungry, and the chef shared with me an omelet that he makes for the staff, which was already knockout-grade delicious. But that was followed up with a squid ink risotto with fried calamari on top. It was really some of the finest food I had on tour, absolutely. The gig started close to midnight. It was advertised for starting at 11. I was told that this was early for Lisbon. After my set, there were DJs. So, as I so often do when I feel this way, I decided to dance. But when the music started, everyone kind of just stood around except for me and one very lovely lady who, as it turned out, was an actress. I think she was part Argentinian. We found each other on the dance floor and just felt magnetized. The other musicians to an after-hours spot. My host had mentioned that it was smoky inside, and I came to accept that. It was now 3 a.m. on a Thursday night. The streets were bustling with not only nightlife, but also commerce. There were people working on the streets. All of the shops were open. It would be a dreamy place for a night owl like me to live. I spent much of the next day stressing over booking some other gigs and merchandise. I found out that I had several cancellations in Italy and had far more days off than I was comfortable with. I was just about ready to resign myself to enjoying a few, perhaps a full week at the beach, but I figured I had enough time for one more round of emails. Also, I still didn't have the cassette tapes. They were at this point a full 3 weeks behind. So I did another old trick. I got some old cassette tapes and just dubbed my music over them. I stopped at the beach on my way up to the next city, Caldas de Reinas. And in the process of booking, he said something strange. Something I've never heard before. I had only a Friday available to play in this city, which is great. Weekends are always good. But he said, "Oh, Friday's not so good. Could you pick a different day?" And this is kind of crazy talk to me. I expect someone to say something like this if I'm asking for a Monday or a Tuesday, but Friday, that's a universally good day. Well, it was impossible, and I thought he was just making it up. Maybe it was just more difficult for him, but surely it would be a great gig. I stopped at the beach on the way to the city. It was a little too cold to swim, but warm enough to picnic. At this point, I was as far west as I possibly could go on the continent. It was tricky for me to find the venue. The address just took me to a park. But it turns out I would be playing in an abandoned social center that had recently been reclaimed almost single-handedly by the organizer. We sound-checked and headed back to Ricardo's house for a delicious meal. I was so enamored with the wine and cheese, I can't remember exactly what we ate. I feel like it was pasta of some kind. His roommates were cool. They helped to promote the show and make the flyers. They had cool dogs, too. This gig started a little bit earlier, more like 11 p.m. The gig was fine, but attendance was sparse. It's not always a big surprise when experimental gigs are lightly attended, but as we proceeded to the bar, it was clear that the town was dead. No one was out at the bar or elsewhere, and it was a beautiful night. As it was explained to me, Fridays are not a good day in this town. Apparently, the students and townies don't get along. The students go out on Thursday, the townies go out on Saturday, and Friday is kind of an uneasy no man's land. The next day, I loaded up my bike with a variety of Dr. Seuss-esque fruits that I'd never tasted or seen before. It turns out I forgot one of them in my motorcycle top box for a week, and it became a messy problem. Having gone so far west, you feel yourself magnetized to the coast, and it's difficult to turn away. Your existential compass starts to freak out, but here I was, about to turn around, head from west to east, back through Spain to France. There are many ways to travel. When you're on the highway to a different city every day, you start to feel like a trucker. Nobody else moves at that pace, just touring musicians and truckers. I came to regard my Honda Duville motorcycle as half scooter, half truck. I was on my way to Don Benito. Don Benito is a very small town. Anytime I told someone in Spain that I had a gig in Don Benito, they were always very confused. Well, why would you play there? Play Madrid, why would you play? But if you ask someone in the know, they say, "Yo, you'll love it. You'll have a good show." I pulled up to a spectacular sight. Inside the compound, there were a couple double-decker buses, a food truck, a bar, a venue, with a residence on top. The first thing I noticed was there were the names of two of my good American friends permanently affixed to the site. Aluchatistas and Dreka have some semblance of a following, but in Don Benito, they're legendary. It was so disorienting that I didn't even notice that the cook who came to greet me was wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers shirt. Turns out he was a fan. there was a great band from Madrid that played, a decent attendance, largely from a Madrid lady's 30th birthday. She talked all of her friends into driving several hours into the desert for a party at Rincon Pro Sound, and they were loving it. I'd already seen so many different kinds of terrain and so many different kinds of road, from the tiny, poorly managed, lush, impossibly dense, green roads of Ireland to the broad plains of the north of France, where you just always seem to be on the top of a hill somehow, to the winding roads, the pastoral green fences, and the clouds that consume the hills, every road bearing a surprise, maybe a forest, maybe an overgrown castle, to the Pyrenees with their chateaus, chalets, and other secrets on their snow-capped peaks, into small mountainous roads that bore so many animals that you started to wonder if their winds and their curves weren't because they were themselves animals. The coasts with their ghost cities, their small towns that seem to have a tapas-based economy, the forgotten roads that go from two lanes to 1.5 lanes, to the point where you wonder if they've been closed for years and no one bothered to mention. Over through the mountains of Andalusia that look like they're somehow sideways, hulking, grotesque, and misshapen. And finally to Portugal, where the plains are broad and accommodating, but everyone lives on the coast, where you're better off describing your position in terms of vertical coordinates. I slept in the next day, then headed to Madrid. I had a free improv set and collaboration with other musician friends. At one point of the set, I ended up with a stool balanced on my head and another in each hand. We went out that night to a kind of pin-up biker bar before going home to sleep. I had a wet, windy, miserable ride to Valencia for a day off. It was nice to hang with my host, Morgan, for a minute and get a tip on some good empanadas for the next day. Then I rode for Barcelona, a city where I struggled to find a gig. I got a loose response at what I thought was some kind of house venue and headed that way. The ride into Barcelona was breathtaking. I had already seen much of the coast, but the cliffs into the city by way of the sea were thrilling. It was like a James Bond car chase. As I headed toward the city proper, I started to hit traffic in the underground highways. There were very few 4- and 5-lane highways in Europe, and these ones in Barcelona were particularly nasty. While I had once shot through the lanes of traffic in Baltimore at a very slow pace, this time it was different. The motorcycles go really fast and the traffic can be unpredictable. But everyone was doing it. All the motorcycles were doing it, and everyone looks at you funny if you don't. So I figured I would try it. Satisfying to blow right through traffic. American drivers would kill me, either on purpose or by accident. The venue was at a big squat called True Blast, a punk rock pun on the former occupant, True Blast. I was invited inside by an eccentric Russian squatter. Everything was lined up for the gig. And people started to arrive. The crowd turned out to be really large, and I was surprised to see a few familiar faces. There's a big American presence in Barcelona squats. A big international presence, really. Two things were unusual about my set. For one, there was no PA. And I did the best I could with a couple guitar amplifiers, but this was made even more difficult because the audience did not stop talking the whole time. The response was very enthusiastic, but I'm used to a lot more attentiveness in Europe, and this felt more like an American gig. But the thing that struck me the hardest was the smoke. I'd been performing in smoky spaces throughout tour, but on this night it really got to me. I felt really sick the next day and continued to feel sick when I was around heavy tobacco smoke. But we partied all night, as is the custom in Barcelona. The next morning I changed my oil in the squat. I cruised to Perpignan, but I couldn't find anyone to take the used oil, so I brought it along, tied to the back of my motorcycle, once again feeling like a trucker. On the way, I saw more of the working girls that I saw all over Spain. In Spain, the prostitutes sit in lawn chairs right by the highway waiting for clients. But I saw one right near the French border in tightly fitted fish scale pattern black jeans, bending over with legs generously beyond shoulder width, with her eyes looking backward into oncoming traffic as she laced up her knee-high stiletto boots inch by inch. So iconic and glamorous. I crossed the border back from Spain into France, and it felt different, mostly because I stopped getting a windshield full of thick mosquitoes and insects at the end of every ride. Also, the farms went from smelling shockingly foul to uncomfortably sweet. Perpignan, I ate another delicious meal. I also finally received my cassettes. My host in Perpignan generally offered to accept the package and bring it to the venue by bus. When he agreed, he asked if the box of 300 cassettes would be large, and I expected it would not be. But I was wrong. It was huge. I had no idea how the hell I was going to transport it. I spent some time. The gig went over, and I felt good. I spent some time rigging up this giant box to my bike the next morning and decided it was as good as it was gonna get. It had a little bit of play to it. It mostly was gonna be in shape. So I rocketed to Montpellier because I had two gigs lined up on relatively short notice. I pulled up to the first venue, an occupied cinema that was evicted several days later. I had a strange dialogue with the organizer because it was requested that I articulate the political ramifications of the work, or perhaps I give an hour-long political speech and follow it with an hour-long performance. In retrospect, I think this was a formality put on by some sort of tension within the squat, because it was clear that nobody really cared to hear me speak, and I certainly did not want to talk. But at the time, I decided what I would do would be play a few songs, and then ask people what they wanted to talk about. And perhaps I could just give an extended introduction to each song. I do have quite a bit to say about politics. I spent a couple days on the streets of Ferguson, Missouri, right around the time Mike Brown was murdered, and I was playing gigs in St. Louis. So I hit the streets, and seems like something people would want to hear about. I was also living in New York when Occupy Wall Street started, and spent a lot of time organizing there, and generally have a pretty good perspective on American radicalism coast to coast, having played so many punk shows and done many dozens of actions between the coasts. So it's not something that I usually put out there, but well, they were asking for it. It turns out it became just a Q&A about my music, which I guess is okay, but I hate Q&As. Whether I'm the questioner or the answerer, inevitably it turned bizarre with people asking questions that were clearly just mini speeches on their own behalf. At a bar, but really just a beer store with a few tables around and an empty basement. A couple of the gig attendees took us afterward to a party at a lovely apartment. It was good to be back in France, and I was anxiously awaiting my next gig in Marseille. On my first tour, Marseille was the first city that grabbed me. It's one thing to have a good gig, a good host, a good adventure, but sometimes a city gets a taste of your work and your vibe, and it says, oh yeah, you belong here, let's party. Satisfying as I hoped. There was a great and rowdy crowd with several enthusiastic black metal fans who arrived wearing leather hoods and spiked jewelry. And we went to a squatted pharmacy for a spectacular dance party. So here's a little bit of what you heard. We started with Dalida, the original and best French repetitive drone, an echo of previous episodes, D-A-L-I-D-A. Then we moved on to Alicitistas, some of the oldest friends that I encountered on this tour, back when my band Basilica played with them in a swanky bar in Asheville, North Carolina, and I really expected something to go wrong, but it didn't. We had a great night, and so I re-encountered them via their presence in Don Benito. Actually, it's a little premonition, my homecoming show with guitarist Shane Perloin of Aluchatistas at Pittsburgh's best example of an autonomous zone, a little concrete pad hanging out by the river. Aluchatistas, Aluchatistas. You heard Tatsuru Arai, that's Tatsuru Arai, Japanese living in Germany, I believe, and we played the same, I guess it was a mini festival in Portugal. We also heard Chamon Chomer again, an echo from our gig together in Caen, France. That's C-H-A-M-A-N, C-H-O, accent circumflex, M-E-U-R. Excellent trio from Lille. We heard Dreka, my good friend from Bloomington, Indiana. I think this is probably the artist I've known the longest in this whole series. And I remember going to his record store in Bloomington, and he would talk about European crowds and music I'd never considered. So before I even knew what DIY was, I was listening to tour stories from Dreka. I faked some of my improvisation at Madrid with my improvisation in London. That was from Skronk, the series S-K-R-O-N-K, Skronk. Moved on to Medonne, that's M-E-D-O-N-N-E-R, an echo from my friends in Amiens who hooked us up. Then we went on to hear Feral Booty, who I believe is from New Orleans, or at least might as well be, living in Barcelona, making a living playing music on the street with a fairly big band. Very American-style sound and very American-style squat. Moved on to Rachel Bader, who organized my gigs in Montpellier, and I played a little bit of my live performance at the Royal Occupé. Of all the live recordings I've played so far of myself, this is probably my favorite. Then I played a little mashup between Arthur Lenot Faure, A-R-T-H-U-R-L-A-N-O-T-T-E-F-A-U-R-E, and he might be related to Gabriel Faure, I'm just going to assume he is. Moved on to some Berserk Punk. I hadn't met Grizz yet, but they're from Marseille, so this is a little premonition of upcoming shows with Grizz, spelled just like it sounds, G-R-R-Z-Z-Z. And finally ended with a duo, a noise rock duo called Harsh. It's only drum set and electric guitar with no effects, and they played with me in Marseille. So as always, most of these bands happen live in context, or at least we hung out in the context that you heard them, and most of them are available on Bandcamp. Just go ahead and Google that name, and I'm sure you'll find it. Check it out.